The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. How are you?
Booked off Thursday, end of the week, so we're in relatively good shape after having finally come out of the lockdown period. Even though, I mean, obviously there's still some after effects. We're not back into the usual routines quite yet. Still openings going on and people returning to work pretty slowly and to school and suffering with the heat wave. And unfortunately, some really not good news from East Jerusalem overnight, where there were actually two shooting incidents where two children were injured in separate incidents in East Jerusalem. It turns out that these are all incidents, shooting incidents by accident, where the families were celebrating iftar after the fasting during the day of Ramadan, and somehow the children were involved in these incidents. So very, very sad indeed, and we hope that those children will recover, one apparently quite seriously injured.
Wow, that is not good indeed. All right, taking a look at some of the other stories that we wanted to cover with you. And I'm just trying to decide where to start, but let's just talk about the European Union, because they're showing increasing sensitivity to the idea of Israel annexing part of the West Bank. Just give us a sense as to what's going on here.
Well, what's interesting for me is that the European Union has what they call the High Representative for Foreign Affairs, someone called Josep Borrell, and he seems to be really ploughing his own personal furrow here. He seems to have a personal agenda to really come up against Israel and to criticize Israel at almost any opportunity. And the point is that according to the EU, they need to have unilateral support from all of the 27 EU states in order to formulate foreign policy decisions. And in the case of this criticism of the possibility of annexing certain parts of the West Bank, and they do not have unilateral support because Austria and Hungary have come out very, very strongly opposed to the idea of the European Union actually taking a public stand against this issue. And so Josep Borrell is doing it effectively in his own name. He's putting out statements. I think he's put out three statements so far, which are theoretically representing his own personal view in his position as High Representative for Foreign Affairs. But we do know that something like 25 out of the 27 states are supportive of this personal view. And in fact, Austria and Hungary have both called on the European Union to invite new Foreign Minister Gabi Ashkenazi to the EU Foreign Affairs Council meeting on Friday, tomorrow, to talk about this issue, something which the invitation was not issued. But we do know that Borrell is really going out of his way to publicly criticize that the issue has been raised also at the United Nations Security Council, where the European representatives there have been very, very critical of Israel in terms of the possibility of this annexation, which is still really being discussed. I mean, there's no firm plans that have been laid down. It's just a discussion at this point, but it seems to be getting more and more airtime and causing more and more confusion and getting a lot of criticism from certain quarters, including the French and the British and the Belgians, who've all come out very, very strongly criticizing Israel. So it seems like we're getting back to almost business as usual in the post-corona period.
It is so interesting because I'm starting to see that not even necessarily about Israel, but about things on social media. It's all that old stuff that I was hoping that we had moved away
from. Might have been forgotten.
Yeah, and gained a little bit of perspective and maybe not been so outraged over the silly things that people on social media are getting outraged about. And apparently we haven't. We've just gone straight back. I mean, what, do we need another virus to remind us about what is and what isn't important? I feel like if we ignore the message of a world prior to Corona, and we just introduced it straight back with all the bad stuff. I don't know. I think that is very, very disappointing. That would be for me. Palestinian officials have announced that they will discontinue security cooperation and cancel agreement signed with Israel and the U.S. over the annexation proposals. Hold on.
Yeah, I mean, it's just getting back to the same old rhetoric. Yeah. I mean, again, this is Mahmoud Abbas announced on Tuesday that Ramallah will no longer be bound by agreements that it signed with Israel and the United States, and that it will stop any security cooperation, security ties between Israel and the Palestinian Authority. These are threats that he's issued on more than one occasion in the past, and they've never really been fulfilled. They've never been carried out for simple reason that it is really not in his interest at all to go ahead with these threats. I think that it's just futile trying to gain a little bit of publicity, trying to stamp feet and to try to show that they might have a little bit of power and authority in certain areas. But the reality is that that's not the case at all. And the Palestinian Authority would never contemplate the idea of not cooperating with Israel, because it's not as if they're the only ones who are contributing towards the security in the area by cooperating with Israel. They're getting a great deal in return from the security cooperation, and one could even go as far as arguing that the safety and the security of Mahmoud Abbas as the head of the Palestinian Authority, securing him in that position, relies upon security operation with Israel, because there are certainly one or two forces roaming around the Palestinian Authority area who would like to see the end of Mahmoud Abbas. And it's no secret that Israel has done a great deal to support him in his position. So I think it's just kind of trying to gain some sort of publicity. We can't believe any of these threats. We have to just move on and just take them as they come, because it's really they just can't be regarded with any degree of seriousness whatsoever.
No, I absolutely agree with that. They certainly can't. Other stories that I wanted to cover is the Iranian Supreme Leader has invoked the final solution in a new anti-Semitic attack on Israel. And it's incredible. Every one of these stories is that old stuff, that old rhetoric that seems to be back.
So he's put some pictures up on his website. This is the Supreme Leader, Ali Khamenei, of Iran. He's put some pictures up on his website, and he's got this very, very complex picture, which has got writing on it in Farsi and in English and in Arabic. And the picture shows Jerusalem being conquered, and it's also got pictures of the murdered Al-Quds Force leader Qasem Soleimani, and it's got the strap line, Palestine will be free, the final solution, resistance is referendum, whatever the final bit might mean. So this final solution thing is just coming back in and is an obvious reference to the final solution that was put forward by the Nazi regime back during the period of the Shoah, and is just another threat, apparently to celebrate Quds Day, which is really the Iranian regime's day calling for Israel's destruction. So once again, this is Iran just jumping up and calling for Israel's destruction and being anti-Semitic, even though officially they are not anti-Semitic. They will tell you that they support Jews and they welcome Jews and all the rest of it. It's just Israel that they have a problem with.
Yes.
But by invoking this final solution, I think it shows a slightly different point of view. And it ties in quite interestingly with an opinion piece that I saw, which was talking about some of the events, the cyber attacks that have been going on in Iran recently, and also ties in with Mike Pompeo's visit to Israel, because at least in that particular opinion, and there's absolutely no factual basis to support this. This is purely an opinion of someone, but an interesting one, which says that because of Israel's attacks against Iranian targets in southern Syria, and in fact in broader Syria in general, the Iranian regime decided to retaliate against Israel, and the cyber attack that was carried out against Israel's water authority was effectively the retaliation for some of those attacks. And then Israel decided according at least to this opinion, that it was going to carry out a very, very substantial attack against Iran, be it in the cyber world or not. And that then got the American regime concerned. And in no time at all, Mike Pompeo was dispatched to Jerusalem to try to placate the Israeli government, because he wouldn't have just come here during Corona without having a very, very specific and urgent issue to discuss. And so in this particular person's opinion, he didn't come here simply to talk about Corona and, you know, general things, but he came specifically to try to prevent the Israelis from going on what was considered to be something of a substantial attack against Iran. And then he tries to tie in, of course, this attack against the Iranian port, the cyber attack that we discussed the other day, and also an event that we didn't discuss, which was that an Iranian naval ship released, shot a missile, which went wrong, killed quite a number of Navy soldiers, Iranian Navy soldiers, and also injured quite a number of them as well. And in this person's opinion, this is all linked to some Israeli retaliation, because Israel somehow managed to get some cyber attack against also that missile releasing system. Whether you believe any of this or not is really, you know, up to you, but it's an opinion that's been put forward, which I found to be quite fascinating. And it also just leaves us with the view that Israel can just almost get anywhere that it wishes to get, and there's almost no limit to the extent to which Israel has its tentacles out everywhere. And of course, the Mossad would love people to believe that that's the case. Yeah,
absolutely. I find it so deeply ironic that no one's, and the fact that no one pointed it out is also quite remarkable, that Iran is the one of the largest proponents of the Holocaust denial myth. I mean, they've got Holocaust denial competitions, and this is very much part of who they are. And yet they use phraseology around the Holocaust all the time, and things like the final solution, coming from a country that's denied the Holocaust, that that's just even a little bit more cheeky than they normally are.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you can get more cheeky than they normally are, but certainly this is a subject and a conflict that's going to run for some time.
And,
so we're
course,
going to be talking a lot
course,
about
the,
it.
Of course, the EU and the UN and everybody would have condemned Iran's rhetoric.
Well, not so much. I mean, you know, we would like to think that they would, but apparently, you know, Germany and Austria and other countries.
Well, they're busy, I suppose, condemning Israel on other issues, so, they haven't got
exactly,
the time.
They've got their work cut out, apparently.
Finally, bad choice of word. Tomorrow's Yom Yerushalayim marks 53 years since the reunification of Jerusalem. Obviously, a strange type of celebration given, COVID, but how is it being celebrated?
Well, there will be celebrations in Jerusalem, and obviously the focus of the celebrations for Yom Yerushalayim are Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem itself. I mean, Jerusalem is the undivided capital of Israel. The east side of Jerusalem was captured during that remarkable historical Six-Day War back in 1967. And so we are, you know, lucky enough to this year to mark 53 years since that. It's still one of the most spoken about and one of the most iconic battles in history, the Six-Day War. The more you read about it, the more you understand it with the benefit of hindsight, the more remarkable it becomes in terms of the planning and how it was executed and the surprise element. And of course, the capture of the east side of Jerusalem, not to talk about other parts of Israel, other parts of the country that were captured in that war. But tomorrow we will celebrate Yom Yerushalayim in Jerusalem and the rest of Israel, and hopefully around the world, because I think that the unification of our capital city is a very, very important event. We will put the flags up. We will there will be concerts. We will have a lot of online activities, virtual celebrations, and I encourage people to get involved as much as they can. This is, I think, an iconic moment, even though it is highly controversial in terms of Jerusalem status and, you know, the whole issue of Jerusalem in the world, not only within the Middle East, is a fascinating topic within itself, but a subject for another day.
Absolutely right. Anthony Rock, that's where we leave it. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Shabbat Shalom. I hope it cools down a little bit so that it is just that little bit more pleasant. It is 8:01. I'm Howard Feldman.